commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast 2 for 1. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
And we are back again today with none other than motherfucking Johnny Brannan.
The motherfucker himself. Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button, that notification bell, that way up to date on all future episodes of Podcast 2 for 1 and all the cool content we have at 2 for 1 Studios. Johnny, I'm glad you're back. I think last time you were on, it was last year technically, but we talked about indie
that?
Filmmaking.
Oh, okay.
It was indie filmmaking and kind of like what to do in the space, like kind of like in Arkansas. And
there was that article about the death of indie cinema. I think
yes, that's right. Yep. Yep. And you and I've been talking back and forth a little bit, Johnny, lately, and you just worked on a movie called The Chariot. And we kind of wanted to pick your brain a little bit, kind of how you got on the project and just your experience on it and just kind of go from there. So start us off. How did you get on this project?
Well, a good friend of ours, Robert Babcock, he works for Skipstone Pictures up in Northwest Arkansas. And Robert hollered at me one day and asked me if I was free to go to a location here in Little Rock and just kind of do some filming for this film that was possibly going to be coming to Arkansas. And so I said, yeah, sure. So I went down and the director of this film, The Chariot, his name's Adam Siegel. He messaged me through Facebook. He did a walkthrough of the Lafayette, which is right on the corner of, I think it's Center and 6th Street. And it's an old building. It's been there, it's like, I think it might be on the historical register, maybe. I'm not sure. But we did a walkthrough. They liked it. Then Adam messaged me and asked me if I'd be interested in hunting some of these locations down for them because they were probably going to be coming in the film. I didn't know anything about this movie at all. Nothing at all. So just, from my own connections, I started kind of putting out vague Facebook posts of I'm looking for a cabin here, if anybody knows, or I'm looking for, this type of location, a house with a ladder, with a, not a basement, but a attic. It's called walkthrough, whatever. So I was doing all this without basically saying there's a movie coming and we need these locations.
Right.
I was trying to just kind of keep it on the DL, and I didn't know who was in a movie. Didn't know nothing about it. And so Robert throughout this whole process was like, I want to get you on this thing, So originally I was going to be production coordinator and which would be just office work. I wouldn't be on a set or nothing. And then I kind of got to where I just really couldn't put a whole lot of time into hunting these locations. I did what I could. And, it's because this is such a small film and a very small indie film, they being the production had a hard time of really having enough people to do a location scout basically. And so, for me, I'm also freelancing as well. So I'm like, well, I kind of got paid gigs that I got to work on. So, and I did get paid for, doing some of the location stuff, but, throughout this thing, Robert was like, yeah, I won't bring you on. I guess because I wasn't on as much, they hired a lady up in Northwest Arkansas who had actually worked on their previous film, Max Winslow and The House of Secrets or something like that. Yeah. And that actually ended up like getting a distribution deal and whatnot. And so she got on that and she got to become, production coordinator. Then he asked me if I want to do DIT and I was like, well, I don't know. And so I thought about it and I thought, well, that'd be kind of cool. Just kind of, see the footage beforehand, and kind of put it all together. But because of the scope and of what they were going to be using, I talked with Craig Wynn, who was their AC, first AC, and Craig's pretty knowledgeable on like the files and what they were shooting with and everything. And I was like, I'm going to tap out. This is not going to be a little too much for me. I've done a very low scale DIT stuff. So, I ended up, telling Robert, like, I don't think there's really a position in here for me. So then he offered me the key set PA, which I'm very familiar with that position. And I would be working hand in hand with the AD. So basically, for a lot of people, anybody out there that doesn't know, like aren't familiar with a film set, it's you got your AD who's kind of running the show, basically making sure that everything's staying on time. Key set, like myself, I have to be on set for him. I was like his left-hand man. You got the second AD that does mostly office work, actually. You know, every day they're printing out the call sheets, making sure that a lot of the stuff behind the scenes is kind of, you know, moving and grooving for the production. But the key set is basically almost like second. So I was there, you know, like right there with them, you know, and then the PAs, you know, the other production assistants were basically under me. So I would have to, you know, just kind of make sure that whatever runs need to go, whatever, you know, things had to happen on set, I kind of delegated all that stuff. And so plus, you know, locking down a set, making sure that, you know, nobody's coming on set, keeping it quiet and making sure that the AD was taken care of, basically. So I learned a lot.
it's interesting that chain of command there. You know, like I always think the AD is there to take care of the director, and then now you have the key set PA there to take care of the AD.
You know, every film set's going to be different. But for the most part, if you're working on a film, that's kind of what to expect. The AD I worked under, his name was Phil Click. He had worked with Skipstone Productions before on Max Winslow, and he worked on a couple of other films here in Arkansas. But he's done a lot of AD, and he's right on top of it. And he and I we clicked really, really well.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. But we worked really, really well, and I made sure that, you know, like whatever he needed, I was there. Anytime he made a call, troubleshooting all that stuff. So it was, and not to mention, I learned a lot, you know, from him on making sure that, you know, this thing was ran like a, you know, like, you know, how we've done it, you know, so.
Right.
And no joke, there's no difference in what you did for me on Ladies Night and Devil Made Me Do It to what Phil did for The Chariot. So it's that whole bit of making sure that the film's, you know, running and gunning and everybody's taking care of it's on every level, whether it be an indie film like this, which had I think it was like a $1.5 million budget, to something that we make here in Arkansas on a much lower budget. So,
I remember recently. I talked to Jason, and we kind of kept hitting that same beat of
Jason Miller of the recent guest Echo on the Boomers. Podcast, co-writer of Echo Boomers. Oh, okay, that Jason Boomer.
Yeah, that is Jason Miller. Jason Boomer. That's his new name. You know, it's weird. I was Jason just in Miller. Best.
Oh, yeah.
I was in Best Buy a minute ago, and they had a copy of Echo Boomers selling at Best Buy. And I was like, that's really cool.
If they don't stock it here, where will they stock it?
Exactly. a common thing that kind of kept popping up was, you know, even though the budget might be a little inflated and maybe egos are inflated on some, you know, on these bigger movies, that at the end of the day, they're no different than what we're doing here. Maybe better run, and maybe some cases they're not. But it was just an interesting tidbit. One thing I know Daniel, you had a question. One thing I want to touch back on real quick, Johnny. One of the first things you said, it's kind of a pet peeve of mine. To your credit, you said that whenever you were making a fake post looking for locations, if you had told that there was a movie being made in your post or X, Y, and Z, everyone would have been commenting, oh, I want to be in it. Oh, I want a role. Oh, can you put me in it? X, Y, and Z. And it's like, yeah. I love the enthusiasm, but that's not how you're going to get into this movie.
Absolutely.
You know, and that drives me crazy. And if you've done that, that's, you know, this is your
way. No,
this is
shut the moment. Up. Go. Yeah, you suck. Stop.
If you've done that, I love you. Not unlike Daniel, but this is me telling you there's a better way of going about it.
I'll anyway. Say you're blending in with Amateur Hour when you're doing
that. There you
go. I'm saying.
Yeah.
Just have a question, honestly, is what the fuck is The Chariot and why should I care? Because we kind of breezed right in there, but I just want some, you know, thinking about our maybe non-film people, or, you know, I know we have at least two listeners somewhere in like New Zealand, thinking about these kinds of people that aren't familiar with the streets of Little Rock or whatnot. Can we just get a little background on what was this film? I mean, I know that as much information as you're allowed to share. No,
say that. It's pretty much all out there now.
Okay.
It's
Did you sign an NDA, Johnny?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
That's why I had to keep everything really quiet. Gotcha. And what's funny, and you may have seen this in Real Arkansas, I was putting a post out and some guy was like, why don't you look, get somebody that's locations, like a locations person. And I'm like,
I didn't see that person.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, the thing is,
thanks.
And you know, not knowing, you know, they didn't reach out to Chris Crane either at first, you know, and I was kind of like, why are you guys asking me? Why you should be asking the film commissioner. But they were just kind of keeping everything low scale, or not low scale, but on the DL at first. I know eventually, you know, they're going to have to get with the film commissioner for all the other stuff. So whenever I got to the point to where I got what I could for them, then Chris Crane came in and the cabin and such, you know, the cabin that they found was up in Jasper. And and I actually went to Norfolk and looked for it at a cabin up there. And, you know, they actually came to town back in November and they asked me if I would be willing to kind of, you know, to go to these locations with them. I'm like, well, you don't really need me. I mean, I'm just going to stand there and be like, you know, we went down to Disability Rights of Arkansas and they looked at the office there because there's a key scene where Shane West, that actor, he plays a character in this film who has a doctor's office, so to speak, or whatever it is. And, Thomas Mann, who's the lead in the film, this is going to sound bad, but I haven't read the script. I had the script forever and I hadn't read the script. I'm really bad about that overall. That's not just that script. It's every script. I'm bad and I'm working on that. I promise you.
I get it. I understand.
I know. I feel like a dick. But they needed like an office where they can destroy glass window where they were going to replace it, you know, bring in a fake one and all that stuff. But we did, you know, locations where we went up to Disability Rides and we looked at their office. They loved it. But, you know, once they, you know, they came into town, they looked at these locations up front and, you know, like, okay, you know, they can kind of get a, you know, decide whether they don't want that location or not. So then they went to Chris Crane and Chris Crane kind of went back out and kind of did this big old, you know, blanket spread of looking for some of the locations that I actually was looking for them. And he ended up like getting a lot of them. There was a few that we got for them that are going to be in the film, and which is pretty cool. But I'm not going to get credited as locations manager or locations or anything like
sure.
that. So, getting hired as key set PA. Going back to your question of why the Chariot came to Little Rock.
Or what is the movie? Is this a movie about the Roman chariots that run around in the Colosseum? Oh, okay.
Reincarnation. It's kind of a dark, humored, dark sci-fi reincarnation.
Cool.
Thomas Mann's character. I mean, it starts off where it takes place in the 1800s, and then it works its way towards now. Wow. And so it's really dark. I mean, it's a really dark film. It's also got a lot of humor in it, but it's really interesting. I don't know. They LA right now is kind of shut down with COVID. So a lot of the productions out there are shit. And they actually was trying to bring that to Oklahoma. And then Johnny Remo from Skipstone got with one of the other producers, Sasha Yulin. And he said, hey, why don't you come to Arkansas and check it out? So between them two and then a few other producers, Sasha's partner, which is Henry Pinsey, they all came in and you know, liked Arkansas. And they brought it here. They all worked it all out and everything. And
that's interesting.
Small budget is a 20-day shoot, and I was on it for 18 days until the weather kind of knocked me out of it. But it was really, really interesting to say the least. Not to mention, I mean, with a movie that being that low budget, you know, there's a lot of things that we ended up wearing multiple hats on. And, you know, not only was I key set PA, I was locations, I was also transpo. And I was also, I'm talking big, major, you know, parts of a film. Like when I worked on God's Not Dead 2, I was a key swing, which put me in different parts of the set of, you know, helping out and troubleshooting and all, but I was mostly with their locations, and there's like five of us for locations. We didn't have that on this film. So it was a struggle. That part, you know, of it was a struggle. And there was, you know, it's not a perfect, you know, everything, there's things that, you know, happened that wasn't perfect that, you know, sure. could have been avoided. But then there's also things that, you know, was pretty amazing to see. I mean, John Malkovich, you know, I mean.
You kind of had a small story earlier when we talked, you got to talk to him a little bit, kind of off the side, right?
Yeah. So we were actually the location they used for this office for Shane West. It was down at the Chamber of Commerce, so it was all glass and everything. And John Malkovich is this eccentric character in his family. He's really bizarre and kind of odd. And wears a wig in his film. So we're at the top of the Chamber of Commerce, and Phil, the AD, is down at the very end by the office where Shane West is, and they were shooting down this kind of like this hall area where Malkovich was going to be walking towards. So I was the person to cue him. And so Phil was like, all right, Mr. Malkovich, whenever, just keep an eye on Johnny over here, because what he's going to do is he's going to cue you. And then whenever we say action, we'll have Johnny just cue you, and then you walk down here and yada, yada, yada. So I looked at him and I go, Mr. Malkovich, when I do this, that means they're ready for you. And he's like, okay. And so he's watching me. You know, he's waiting for me to cue him. And the first thing he did, because I had my headphones on, my headset on for my walk. And there I go, and action. And then I'd hear, and they go, Johnny. So that was my cue to go like this. And I pointed at him and did it. And he came walking around. And he goes, oh, my God, I forgot my lines. And I'm like, oh, shoot. And there was a side sitting right there right next to me. So I grabbed the side, and I start flipping through it. And I go, is this it? And they're still rolling, you know, like he actually stopped. And they can't see us because he had to kind of walk around this desk. And I'm like, oh, what is it? This one? He goes, oh, I don't got my glasses. And I was holding it up there for him. He's looking. He goes, okay. And he grabbed it. He goes, okay, that should work. And he put it in his pocket and just kept walking, you know, walking down there. And I watched him hold on to that side, and he set it down. I grabbed it as soon as we like, you know, cut and everything. I actually grabbed that side. So I still have it here on the same page that he had it on, which was pretty amazing. But so we did that a couple of times. And then I walked down to his trailer or to the RV. And so I'm in there, and I'm walking down there, and we get outside, and I go, Mr. Malkovich, I'm not going to get a chance to tell you this again, but I just want to let you know that of Mice and Men is like my favorite performance of yours, and it's incredible. And he goes, oh, thank you so much. And yeah, he goes, but he doesn't, you know, he's like, oh, thank you, you know, but he put his hand like that, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. It's like the best day ever. And super nice. I mean, everybody had nothing but incredible things to say about him.
Was he just there one day?
And so he was there for the first week, and we were out at the silo shooting this big scene out there where they got Thomas Mann on his gurney, and Barry Clifton is actually in the scene, and he was there. And so that was actually John Malkovich's last night. So they wrapped him, and he was like, you know, very thankful. He goes, I loved Arkansas. Thank you guys for having me. And it was such a pleasure. And I would love to come back again sometime. And
that's cool.
Next time you're going to be in my movie. And everybody's like, listen to Johnny. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So.
No, it's very possible. That's how you make those connections. Yeah. That's awesome. I do got a few more questions for you. How did making a movie work in COVID? I mean, I know it's a smaller budget, but do you have to go through like basically a class? Did you have to do that? Did you have to tell me what happened?
There, like most, and then this is actually like all across the board on most of the films in productions right now, anywhere in the country, is that you got the different zones. You got zone A and zone B. Right. And so zone A was where, like, if you were going to be on set with the talent, like if it's hair and makeup, if it's anybody working on camera, G&E crew and whatnot, and me being a PA, set PA, we all had zone A, you know, wristbands. Now, when we first started production, there was some of us that had the brain swab. So they didn't realize that I had to be on set. So I didn't get that. So they didn't go all the way up there and swab my brain. But they were very like thorough on making, we tested twice a week, and we tested ourselves. So we would test on Mondays. We'd have to bring our test in Monday morning and Wednesday morning. And so, yeah, twice a week we made sure we tested, they wiping down, you know, everything. And we had to make sure that we were, I mean, it was really, really thorough as far as like, you know, making sure that everybody was taking that precaution of staying safe. I wore the N95 masks, and it, you know, of course, there's a picture, I, you know, cut into my nose quite a bit, but I got to wear, that was the only mask that I could really wear because my glasses would fog up if I was wearing anything else.
Right.
And you know, I think that, like if there's anybody out there that's making a film, they can take the same precautions that this film did. Now, given, you know, doing your own testing, like, you know, swabbing your nose, that's going to get pricey and whatnot. And that's going to get expensive. But as far as like cleaning, making sure everything's wiped down clean, wearing your mask, I think that anybody can have a safe set just as long as they're doing just, you know, that right there, I think.
You have you mentioned again, it's a $1.5 million film roughly. You kind of touched on it earlier.
Very, very cheap.
Yeah, it's like a $1.5 million.
Really? Yeah, super. Yeah. So you kind of mentioned that, you know, everyone was wearing multiple hats. Two things. A, what was the ratio from how much people they brought in to how many people in Arkansas worked? And then also how many people were like on the set a day, specifically with COVID happening? Like, what was the max amount of people on set?
It was really small. And I was talking to Henry Pinzi, who was one of the producers, and Henry kind of took the reign of a line producer in a way, because he was kind of managing things as far as like lunches go, making sure that everything was set up, making sure everything was broken down and stuff. And we got off on the wrong foot for the first couple of weeks, or no, I'm sorry, the first week, because, you know, like I said, you know, there was only a few of us PAs that was there that was actually working full time. We had people that was there, you know, donating time, and they would get there for a couple of days. It just get too hard for them, and they'd tap out. You know, they'd quit. They wouldn't even show up, wouldn't call or nothing. So we went through a lot of days where we would see new people showing up, and then they would just, I don't think it's for me. But they weren't getting paid for it either. So, you know, there was a lot of frustrations that first week, for especially for me being you know, key set, because whenever we first started, you know, Robert and I had talked about what, because he had a list of people that were on his list that he had actually, that was referred to him, and it was people who I was familiar with that I didn't think that they were going to be able to cut it, especially with some of the attitudes I've seen them in rural Arkansas. And I was like, no, they're not going to be on a set. They're not ready for it. And they're not going to be able to bring anything. And that's going to be more of a hassle on me.
Sure.
I'm here to kick ass. And I know that just from watching attitudes and watching how people are dealing with people, not going to have it. Can't have that type of attitude on a film set like this. So, so there's a, you know, like Matt Jordan and Chip Simons, or people who I suggested, and they ended up using Chip in the art department. They took him away from us. So really it was just me and Matt for the most part. We were the ones. And then, you know, Whitney, Hannah Whitney came in and she worked a couple of days. You know, we had Daniel Nansel come in, you know, So he came in and he ended up getting put with G&E. So, you know, as far as like, you know, wearing multiple hats and stuff like that, because we were low on PAs, we didn't have a locations department, we had no transpo department, things like that. It was like we were pushed up against a wall, like hardcore. And I'm not afraid to say it out loud, because they know it. They know what we were going through with like the struggles of, you know, like I can't get to this right here because I got to do this, you know, and you guys are just gonna have to wait. And if you guys don't want to wait, then hire some people. And we went through that a couple of times where we had to voice our frustrations that you guys are going to have to bring in some people. And you know, like I said, Matt Jordan reached out to a few people. I was actually going to put a few, you know, calls out myself, but I was, you know, just having so much to do. And there was one day, where I had like four people around me and they were asking me four different questions. I'm like, you guys are going to have to chill until I get this one thing done. But I think part of that too, at the very beginning of, like, I was kind of talking about our frustrations. Henry and I kind of got off on the wrong foot at first, but then Henry became one of my favorite people. I learned a lot from him, you know, and he was like, he get friends with Mark Wahlberg, and part of it, you know, he showed me his FaceTime picture that he did with Mark Wahlberg. He goes, yeah, I'm getting ready to go to, he goes, I didn't shave this week, so I'm going to go down to the Dominican Republic and get ready to work on a film with Mark Wahlberg. So he told me not to shave. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So, but Henry was like, I go, is this set? Is this like the normal? Because to me, it seemed like a, a big or small film. Like when I worked on God's Not Dead 2, we had a massive crew, and we had multiple people, you know, everybody had their place. And with this, it just seemed like, well, you know, we're kind of, you know, doing more than what I did before on the other film. But, you know, the difference in the budget was this movie, I think, has like a, I heard between, you know, I think 1.5 million ish or something like that. Then you got God's Not Dead 3, which is a $3 million film, or 2, which was a $3 million film. So, you know, I saw the big differences on what you could get as far as like crew goes to pair compared to, like, you know, we're trying to keep this as small as we can and make a quality film with the actors that we have. But, you know, the PAs on this film really, like, I mean, we were holding that sucker up. We were building a house with it and we had our hands full. I mean, G&E, you know, they had some, there were some days where they had some struggles, and I mean, every department on this film had struggles because of a smaller budget. But I think that we pulled it off though. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, you know, there are some things that was frustrating. I wished it was handled better, I guess. And I kept quiet on that, you know? But at the same time, seeing what they were able to accomplish with what they had was pretty amazing too. You know, that was kind of fascinating. And, you know, yeah, I don't know.
One thing I think about a lot whenever I'm thinking about here making movies or thinking about the movies since I've been on, you know, you bring up these frustrations and I've been lucky enough for most of the time I haven't had too many conflicts in terms of with people, you know, either worked beneath me or worked over me or whatever. And one thing that always kind of in the back of my head is shielding the talent from these kind of, you know, people being upset, you know, the actual working part of it, you know, and these are people and they have a job to do too. But was there any sense of like, we're having an issue over here, but we can't do that in front of John Malkovich? Like, how do you handle that? Do you, like, you know what I'm saying? Especially with a small film like this.
That's really easy to shield because, you know, they kept him in a green room. Nobody, I mean, really, everybody was really doing what they could with, because we were all working. You know, we had tasks. So we had things we had to get done constantly. We had to be on our toes. So there was like no break, you know, freak outs or anything like that where actors could see what was going on. And don't get me wrong, you know, we voiced our concerns, you know, pulled people to the side and said, hey, look, you know, this isn't working out, you know, for us. And in order for us to get past this, we're gonna have to like really chill out here and really like, you know, look what we got. Look who you have here, you know. And I know that getting people, like I said, you know, myself, Chip, and Matt, and for an exception of Daniel who came in, and Hannah, you know, it was like we didn't have hardly anybody was getting paid as far as PAs go. They were finding people who were actually coming in and working for free. But at the same time, when you're getting free help, you're going to get the quality. You could get quality work, or you could get people who are like, I don't think I want to do that. I'll see you guys later, you know, and may either cut out during the day, which we didn't have, but yeah, people just didn't show back up the next day, you know, and I was actually calling people and like, are you coming in? And didn't get any responses. So,
but see, I get the idea of the film as a unit, the film as in terms of higher ups need to take care of their cast and crew. And that is absolutely what happens if you don't. On the flip side of that, I don't see a world in which I don't show up, even if I don't have a good time that first day.
Yeah.
But I think I think the other side of it, though, is like,
I get it. I get it. But
how do you feed yourself? How do you pay rent when you're being asked to volunteer for something that's not paying you?
But listen,
if they're high school students and it's the middle of summer and you have nothing to do, maybe. But I think if you're not going to pay people, you can't expect people to act like they're being paid. Which is to show,
I don't know,
professional and show up on. I mean, like, I feel like
I kind of disagree a little, because I haven't been. I think other than like my current job and maybe one other movie, I've never been paid for any of the productions I've ever done, and I showed up.
But how many times have they been professional productions?
I mean, in my opinion,
no, but professional. Like, people are being paid. Money was raised. There's a budget.
I know. I get what you're saying, but
that's different. That's completely different.
No, it's not. You should treat every movie as if you are getting paid, in my opinion.
I think
that's a luxury. I think that's a luxury of people that don't have bills. That's what I
had bills. Me and Johnny knows this, but how many times we were struggling, but we showed up. You know what I'm saying?
For student films, because they were, but I mean, like that's a different era. It's a different time. I mean, I think we're in the middle of a pandemic where jobs are hard to find anyway, where everything else that is going on in the world. I mean, I don't think it can be. I think it's a simple thing of like, well, I don't think I see both sides of the issue of having valid ways the way they handled it. The money, it's not like they just didn't want to pay people. They just didn't have money, but they needed help. So they were asking for anyone that had the ability to help. Listen, we can't pay you, but please help. But yeah. I also understand the people that didn't show up the next day that were like, well, that was great, but I spent 12 hours and I don't have any more money than I did yesterday.
Sure. You know, so I see both. Johnny, I get what you're saying and I agree with you, but let me ask Johnny one question. Are you those people who didn't show up the next day? Are you going to ask them to be on a movie set again?
No. And the reason why is because they, well, you know, Robert put out a call in Real Arkansas and on Facebook of, hey, look, you know, we're looking for VAs. Now it's more of an intern type thing. So you're going to get the experience, which, you know, as soon as they came up there, I introduced myself and I took care of myself. And I was like, thank you so much for your help. So and I would always check on them and go, is everything okay? You know, is there anything you need from me or anything like that? So I was always making sure that PA was taken care of. And so, and I said, look, if you have any questions or whatever, you know, just let me know. You know, I kind of wanted it to be like, if you're not going to come in tomorrow, please let me know, at least let me know something. But knowing that, you know, seeing some of the people that kind of popped in there and seeing the work that they did as far as like, you know, there's people who just want to be on set. And I get that. We all want to be on set. But when you get hired or you get asked to be in a certain position on a film set, you take it. If you take it, what you do, you know, you're not, you know, you're a production assistant. You know, this is what production assistants do. Right. So, and that's the thing about it. I mean, you kind of got to know that. But, you know, like, and I would, you know, man, I mean, there was a lot of frustrations and there was a lot of times where
sure.
I learned some stuff on God's Not Dead too. You know, if you got any frustrations, pull somebody to the side and vent to them. And I told people that, like, just if you have anything to say, whatever, pull me over to the side and let's talk about it. And if I had any like questions or anything like where I got frustrated, where I didn't think somebody was doing their work, I'm like, look, you know, you got this walkie. If I'm calling for you, you guys got to pick up and you got to, you know, acknowledge what's going on because you're worthless. If I can't get you, if I'm up here on set and I got to make sure that, you know, we need waters up here and I can't get down there. And I was like, we need water. So we need a PA to bring something up there. If you can't hear me, you're worthless. And it's all about the hard work.
It just tickles me a little bit. Yeah.
There are people there that are that I will absolutely 100% say, hey, I would love for you to come work on something here.
Sure.
And if there's a film that comes back into the area, you know, and here's the thing. And I was sharing some of the cool things about this film on in rural Arkansas, just bringing awareness, you know, and letting people know that, hey, look, we do have films that are made here. There's like two or three features being made right now. A lot of people don't know about. Literally like a couple of days ago, G&E crew, that all the guys who worked on this film, The Chariot, are all just G&E on a Lifetime film here in Arkansas. So there's all these opportunities, but there's people who get disgruntled and they feel like, well, I'm not being asked to work on a film. And I've seen some people respond to some of my posts. And there's one person in particular, I'm not going to say their name, but I saw what they were reacting to. So I put that post out saying, hey, look, friend me on Real Arkansas. If there's an opportunity coming in, I would love to get people on board that I know that's going to work hard. I'll suggest you. I'll get you on board. But if you're going to sit there and bellyache and piss and moan and be like, well, you know, then get out of Real Arkansas if you're not going to like, you know, if you don't want to see what's going on film wise, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, if you're not.
Yeah. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. Right now we're in a period of pandemic. So there's not and at least from what I understand, there's not a whole lot being filmed right now in Arkansas on a short film level. There is student film still being shot for classes X, Y, and Z, but it's not as pronounced as it was a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
The way to combat that is you know, you see people post stuff like you or me or Daniel or other people that, you know, maybe people trust or whatever, they see it frequently posted, say, hey, you know, I'm interested in this, you know, put yourself out there. You don't have to, don't say, put me in the movie, say, hey, I would love to, if you're having a day of shooting, can I shadow somebody?
Absolutely.
Can I just stop by and help in some other form? And don't expect to be the cinematographer, you know.
Well, I think at that point, we're dealing with people that just don't understand. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the hard part about real Arkansas is that most of the people don't have any training. Experience. I think it is just more like understanding your audience. And I think you guys are totally right. I think that, just to circle back to what we were saying earlier, I think if you're going to say you're going to be there and be professional while you're there and work hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you need to be like, hey, I need to not be here anymore, then communicate that professionally and go about your business, sure, kind of thing. You know what I mean? I do think it is like, we're in Arkansas. If you're looking for free PAs in Arkansas, you're going to get what you're going to get, kind of thing. Yeah, there's not a lot of fish in this sea when it comes to free PAs that know what they're doing, will show up when they're supposed to and work hard.
I might have a little pushback on that, but I guess what I really want to say is I ultimately, if you're listening to this and you don't know where to start, or you've been in the game a long time and things haven't been working out for you, I don't want to disgruntle you for you know, reaching out or that kind of thing. Do that. And again, I always tell everybody, look, I got 1,000 things going on constantly. People, you know, I got my own projects. People want me to look at their projects, X, Y, and Z. The biggest thing you can do is just pester me. Like, I'm not, you know, obviously don't fucking message me every goddamn day, but, you know, but like, do it in a professional way and say, hey, have you checked that out yet? Or, you know, I would love your thoughts on it. And if I can't get to it, either A, I'll say, hey, this isn't for me right now, or X, Y, and Z, but it's okay to do that. And, you know, we got to always remember that I don't think we're the end all be all. I don't. We all have various degrees of experience on filmmaking, and none of us are at the top making, you know, the biggest blockbuster of all time. That's not happening. We all started at a place where we also didn't understand how to conduct ourselves or how to communicate for this kind of stuff. But it's okay to ask. It's okay to, again, there's certain ways to do things and just be mindful of that, you know? Anyway, you know, that's a small rant right there. But it's all in love though. You know, all in love. But yeah, anyway, if you definitely let someone know, kind of touch back real quick, let someone know if you're not going to be on set the next day.
Exactly.
One thing that really rubs me the wrong way, which I've experienced, is even if I've had people literally call me the morning of, like hours before I was supposed to be on set, like at 4 in the morning, and I got to shoot at 6 in the morning, and they're, hey, I can't be there today. Yeah. And I wasn't in a good mood from that moment on.
Yeah.
I mean, I was fine when set hit, but in my back of my head, I'm like, well, I'm kind of, I feel fucked in this certain department now. And you could at least let me know beforehand, or you could have sucked it up and be there, like you told me you were going to be there. Anyway, that's my little, I got a little umbrage on that. One of the last things I want to ask you, Johnny, is you talked earlier about you learned a lot on this film. What's the thing that you really take away from it that you can apply to your own movies going forward? What's the things that you really, that really stood out to you, that you were like, oh, wow, that's either a new way of going about it that we haven't done yet, or just things that you just really loved and you thought you're going to apply it to future Johnny Brannon films?
I don't know. I remember on God's Not Dead 2, how much I had appreciation for all the hard work of everybody, just watching the G&E crew, which I don't know anything about that. You know, I just know my little lighting, itty bitty lighting. I'm still learning about lighting. I mean, I'm not even close to coming close to, you know, doing what these guys are doing, but you know, it's people I've worked with before, Will Scott and, you know, Matt Bates and Tyler Vela and Oscar, you know, all these guys that, I mean, it was a very small G&E crew, but you know, it's guys that
it's kind of the same main G&E people that if there's G&E people, was Ben Ellis there, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely. And
yeah,
they
yeah.
Totally guys
same group.
Totally lit this film. And and did what they did. And, you know, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I appreciate the work that the PAs that worked for us, you know, that did get, you know, show up every day. And the ones who did put in the blood, sweat, and tears, I guess you could say. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that. And the, you know, the guys who listened to us whenever we had our frustrations and were like, we're going to try to fix this. You know, I mean, there was, you know, there was things that didn't go the way I thought it would, as far as, like, you know, from the higher ups, that I was very disappointed in and everything. And I wish, and it could have been, it's not, it should have been, but it could have been handled in a much more professional way. And I think that, I think there's a better way of, showing respect. You know, I mean, you can be a producer on set and appreciate the hard work, 'cause there's a couple of producers on there who are doing, like, fantastic things, like Sasha Yulin, who, you know, he's got a film on Netflix right now. I think it's called The Vanishing, maybe. It's one that's got Jason Patrick in it. It was in the top 10, but Sasha was incredible. He's such a nice guy. And he actually, I think, is producing or just produced this film called Monstrous. It's got Christina Ricci. That was originally supposed to be shot in Oklahoma, and they ended up taking it out to LA, but he's a part of that. And, you know, and Henry Pinzi, that's his producing partner. Henry is actually, Vernon Davis, who's the football player, he won Super Bowl 50.
I know the name, yeah.
Vernon is in his film. He was on Dance with the Stars, and he is probably one of the nicest guys on the planet. I got a chance to tell him that, you know, and he was there, and you know, just seeing actors like Vernon, who's actually up and coming actors, Thomas Mann, he was in Kong Skull Island, he was in, you know, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, you know, Thomas, and he worked with on Dean Denton, another local actor here on The Highwaymen.
Is he the one that's that I think I know exactly who you're talking about, Thomas Mann. Is he the guy that's, is he an Agent Carter also?
I don't think with, so.
Let me look.
He was in, remember that movie Project X that came out years ago where they shut down Los Angeles, a big party and everything? He was in that. He was like the lead in that. But he's one of the nicest guys, you know, and he knew us by name, you know.
At the end Yeah.
Thomas. Yeah, he came out and gave me a hug at the end. He goes, everybody gets a hug. Rosa Salazar, who played Alita Battle Angel, gave me a hug on her after she rapped. She goes, you know, she came up to me and gave me a big hug. And I was like, yeah, come back to Arkansas. And she goes, you know, I will. Yeah, things like that. It's just like whenever you get around people who are doing like great things like that, that they acknowledge, you know, you as a person on a set. And, you know, it's funny because they were like, Thomas, we were up there shooting a scene in this room up at the Lafayette. And Thomas is like, Matt's wearing his shorts. Talking about Matt Bates. He goes, Matt's got his shorts on. He goes, I don't see how I can handle that cold weather out there. But just knowing that they're on a first name basis with us, you know, it's pretty cool.
I gotta say, Johnny, I'm real disappointed because the two most, like, the two best Blu-rays I own is Kong 4K Ultra HD 3D Blu-ray Steelbook.
Why is it the best?
And because it's, and also Alita Battle Angel 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray 3D Steelbook. It's the, both of those are the best because you got 4K, 3D, Blu-ray, digital, and Steelbook. Those don't exist.
So it's just the amount of words amount in front of the word of the movie. That's how you know how good it is.
It's not the word, Daniel. It's what it represents.
It represents, is it how thick the steel is? Is it 0.3% pure steel, or is it?
It's a little heavier.
Is there some iron in there? Is there some copper in there?
It's a little heavier. But the thing is, the idea is that the studio said, "Hey, there's someone like Donovan out there who wants all the
shit. We can just squeeze the money out of, like a little rag.
I'll pay for it. Just give it to me.
Drip it into our mouths."
But to wrap it back around, I'm just real disappointed, Johnny, that you didn't get these, you were on set and you didn't think about me getting these signed. Anyway, I got,
you know, they probably would have done it too, because that's how cool they would have. Yeah. I mean, what was neat was that, you know, Scout Taylor Compton was also on the set too. And she's been here to Little Rock before. She shot a short film called Cursed a couple years ago with Eric England and Jesse Burks. And so, you know, when Thomas Mann was getting mic'd, I said, "Hey, real quick," I said, "Dean didn't want me to let you know, tell you hi." And he goes, "You know Dean?" I was like, "Yeah." And I said, "He lives 30 minutes away from here." He goes, "Oh, yeah, he texted me. I got to give him a text back, man." And then Scout, you know, was in a movie, up in Chicago with Dustin Prince. And I said, hey, real quick. I said, I want you to know, Dustin told me to tell you hi. She goes, you know Dustin? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, oh, that's so cool. Yeah, we just worked on a film together. And I was like, yeah. So he was saying, and I said, he said, and you did incredible. And he goes, oh, well, tell him thank you. Things like that, you know, it was just, it was really neat to be able to kind of get that out there. And Vernon Davis, you know, he came up there, like he wrapped his, we wrapped him. And then we were all on lunch and he came up, up there eating, and he came by. He's like, is our guys, you guys doing good over there? And we're like, yeah. I go, hey, listen, I got to tell you right now, man. I said, you're one of the nicest guys I've ever met in my life. He goes, oh, dude. He goes, well, it's just treat how you want people to be treated, isn't it? And I was like, exactly. And he was just such a nice guy. And he's on set with Bruce Willis right now in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
So so his Instagram, he and Bruce Willis and Henry Pinsey, Henry's his manager. So it's just things like that are so cool that the actors, there was no divas, there's like no bad attitudes or anything like that. They're all super cool as far as, you know they were here in Arkansas and they enjoyed it. They liked it here. So, and I think it's we're going to have more of these. I think the producers liked what they saw here. And I think that they're going to be bringing more movies back this way.
That's awesome. Cool. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, Daniel, did anyone write into our Bitly? I know that I put that out there and if they had any questions, Andy, for Johnny, it's your job is to check the Bitly.
Okay. Sorry. I forgot.
I just wanted to say. While Daniel is looking that up, Johnny, how can people catch up?
Were you about to ask him for the BIT? Were you about to ask
him? I was gonna ask him. How can people, like, what are you working on and how can people find you right now and kind of stay up to date, like your YouTube channel and that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Right now I am working on my YouTube channel. It's, I'm showing one film I've made every week. It's my short film theater. And basically showing a film that I've worked on that's, you know, and how we made it and how it got there and the people that's been attached to it. It's just everything I've worked for as far as like being an actor, and these are the results, you know, every year that I've shot a film. I kind of wanted to bring it back, back to life and kind of into it and show people, like, you know, when I show Still Life, the people we worked on it with, you know, I had an incredibly talented crew of people that's doing big things, you know? And so, so I'm doing that, and I'm actually supposed to have an episode up today, but I'm not going to do that today.
Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. Friday, I was going to have like just kind of show tutorials on how to make a, you know, I'm going to get into production, you know, kind of start talking about pre-production and getting to making a film. And I'll probably actually shoot a short film, just kind of show the behind the scenes of it. But yeah, it's Johnny Brandon Filmwork on YouTube, and I'm trying to get as many subscribers as I can. And right now that channel is going to be strictly that, you know, doing tutorials and then kind of showing behind the scenes of projects I've worked on and whatnot. You know, whether it be acting, whether it be filmmaking. As far as acting goes, I had three big auditions for a ABC miniseries shooting over in Mississippi, Tennessee. I signed with an agency in Alabama late last year, and they've actually got me a couple auditions. I've auditioned for a David O. Russell film. I auditioned for a movie they shot with David Duchovny down in Louisiana. And this is actually one called Women of the Movement. And it's executive produced by Will Smith and Jay-Z. And it's going to be on ABC in the fall. It's got Ray Fisher. He's the lead in it. And I'm auditioning back on February 1st for Deputy Number 2. And nothing happened. And then he came back on February the 20th. And they had me read for a jury foreman. And I didn't get that. That was actually the big one I put on Facebook. That I was like, you know, this is kind of crazy. This casting director is like asked me to read twice, and then they actually sent me one a couple of days ago for an editor. And I auditioned for about an hour. You know, I filmed, you know, different ones. And I don't know. I thought it did all right, but you know, it's just the opportunity of actually reading three times for this ABC miniseries is enough for me. So, you know, getting some auditions finally that's from out of state and whatnot, that's going pretty good. So I know that there's Dean Ditton actually got cast in it. He's playing a foreman. I don't know if he's playing the jury foreman, but he's going to be in it. And that's the only person I recognize right offhand as far as that's here in Arkansas. I know that there might be some actors that's doing background work down there. I think I've seen a few people post on Facebook it's background work. You know, it's not principal work. I shouldn't be like that, but cut that out.
Well, we're not going to cut it out.
Anything ever.
But I'm going to tell you right now, Johnny, in about a week from now, the Snyder Cut drops. And I think it's May something. The 4K Steelbook comes out. So if you get to work with Ray Fisher, I'm telling you right now, you're going to get him to sign that for me.
I don't know if he's going to be willing to sign anything with the WB words on
it. No. Snyder Cut, he will. I guarantee right now, Ray Fisher would live and die for the Snyder Cut. I promise you.
Okay, I'm writing that down. I'm going to ask him if I ever meet him.
Ask him. So, Daniel, did anyone write anything in?
No.
Those sons of bitches. Of course. That's okay. We asked some really good questions. We don't need people to write into us.
Yeah, there was that one guy that said, what does Flocati actually mean?
I wasn't going to ask that because I specifically said write into our bit.ly, John Ross Parks. Anyway, yeah, Johnny, where does Flocati's name come from?
Flocati is a type of Italian shag carpet. So when we came up with the name Flocati Films, basically it was kind of presenting ourselves as the nicest shag.
Perfect. I love it.
Britain, that would mean something else. Anyway, sorry. I don't know why that's what my mind did, but that's what my mind did.
Well, future listeners or current listeners, if you do want to write in to our to podcast 2 for 1, Daniel, how can our listeners write into us?
You can go to your web browser and you can type in the words www.bit.ly/2for1mail. Actually, I don't think you put the W's in there. I think you just do bit.ly. /2for1mail. Now, I wonder where you go if you put the W's in there. The dark web, probably. Maybe. So that's probably the dark web's email address right there. So bit.ly/2for1mail. Let us know if you have questions for Johnny that we'll ask someday. I don't know. I guess Donovan might text him if it's a good enough question. You can maybe put your phone number in there. Maybe Donovan will text you the answer back. I don't know, guys. Sorry, I was trying to figure out, like, what are they asking? What do they want? What are we asking to know?
They could ask us anything. What we had for breakfast.
That's true.
You know, if we have other projects coming up, and what things, you know. If they want to talk about Star Wars, Marvel, DC, our normal topics,
I mean, if you just want to shoot the shit, we're always here. But I was trying to keep it on topic.
I mean, of course, they can always ask us about filmmaking questions. We are filmmakers, yes. So we have an understanding of it. And of course, if you can't hit our bit.ly, you can always comment below if you're on YouTube. And of course, to find us, you just got to type in youtube.com/2for1studios. It is the best place to consume the content. And if you haven't already, like I said before, hit that subscribe button, that notification bell. That way, on all future content like 2for1 Collectors, 2for1 Backflash, and of course, Podcast 2for1. Johnny, it was a pleasure having you on the channel.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll have you on sooner rather than later. I know we always have
more Johnny exploits in the future.
We always have stuff, you know, talking about future projects, X, Y, and Z. Real quick, last thing. Can you still submit to Made in Arkansas?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Are y'all doing all digital this year, I'm assuming? Again?
I think so. I say right now, I mean, I haven't really been pushing it. You know, Fort Smith is getting ready to start their film festival as well. I think that's really cool. You know, I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. I've been kind of out of it. I need to get back into it, but we got actually some really interesting features. We got, some interesting shorts. We got some really good, you know, solid films as well. I mean, it's going to be a 3-day festival. You know, of course, the more movies we get in, the more we can actually program, if we do take it digital. I don't know. We'll just have to wait.
So we'll be on the lookout for that news about the final plans, I assume.
And that's madeinarkansas.org, right, Johnny?
Actually, I don't know if the website's up anymore. But you can go to Film Freeway, I think, /Made in Arkansas.
You're on Facebook, right?
On Facebook, yeah. Definitely go to Facebook.
Johnny, we'll flash up your phone number and your social security number right here in this address, part of the show. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, again, it was a pleasure having you on.
Yeah,
thanks, yeah, of course. And of course, my name is Donovan Thompson.
And I am Daniel Wingfield. And Johnny is going to say his name now.
Oh, I'm Johnny Brandon.
Yeah.
And we have spoken.